Hello and welcome to The Way We Live Next, conversations about the mobile future. I'm your host, James Waterworth, and today I'm talking to Bob Iannucci, CTO of Nokia. We're going to be discussing the future of mobile technology. Bob, thank you for joining us.
James, pleasure to be here.
So Bob, what excites you about mobile technology?
Wow, this is it's such an amazing industry. My background brings me from the world of big iron computing now to computing in the small. And I have to say that having lived through a couple of revolutions in large-scale computing, it's exciting to see this industry as being the hotbed of innovation. I see people who used to work with me in the world of computing flocking now to mobility. And why is that? I think people generally see, innovators see, a land of great opportunity here. I very much liken what's going on in the mobile world now to what happened in the computing world back in 1982, before the emergence of the IBM PC as the sort of the central focal point of the industry. We're on the verge of having that same thing happen now, and we have the opportunity, I think, to learn from history and to maybe even do it better. But at the very least, it's going to be an exciting, high-speed ride as mobile really takes off.
So you mentioned the comparison with 1982, and obviously computing has developed enormously since then. So what developments do you see coming to mobile in the future years?
As I see it, the big transition is mobility, mobile devices, and the services behind them have really been, up until now, focused on primarily a single purpose, making voice calls. And the devices themselves have been engineered to do that exceptionally well. Great radio technology, really smart protocols. But now, we're moving to a world where what the mobile devices deliver is much more broad. We're moving to a world where the value that someone gets out of their mobile device might only be defined by software that gets written sometime after they buy the device. It's a completely new way of thinking about the mobile device. It's enabled by high-speed computing. It's enabled by low-power computation, something that Nokia is particularly good at. And now we have the task of putting this together with a service engine behind it that excites software developers and service creators to come and build on top of the Nokia platform.
So you mentioned what might come, and when people tend to think of Nokia, they think of great mobile phones. What else would you like them to think of?
So I'd say first and foremost, what I really want Nokia to be known for in the coming years is the center of open innovation for mobility. I want people to think of Nokia as the preferred partner for creating great things that add consumer value, that bring consumer delight, and that help build up not just Nokia, but the companies who participate with us as we move forward into this next wave of mobility.
So how are we going to do that? How are we going to keep being at the forefront of mobility?
Well, openness is more than just words. It's actually a discipline. It's a matter of being an active listener and increasingly viewing those in the outside world less as customers, less as developers, and more as innovation partners. So I think we have to be more intimate with all of the people who are part of the value chain, as well as the consumer who ultimately decides whether we do or do not get value. And that's going to imply some changes in the way that we do business. We've already started down that path, and I would say that Nokia has a pretty good history of collaborating with others, but we need to move up pretty aggressively our relationships with universities, which Nokia Research Center has sort of taken the lead in the last couple of years. Our relationship with developers that form Nokia has been very good at spearheading, and now we need to accelerate that, as well as technology suppliers and partners. If we're really going to see this dominant platform, as I like to call it, in the mobile world emerge, it's going to be a collaborative effort. It's going to be Nokia together with its partners making that happen.
Okay, interesting. You mentioned being an active listener and talking to consumers, which don't, to me, sound like the typical words you hear from a technology company. So would it still be right to call Nokia a technology company?
Well, when I think of a technology company, I think of a company that's the primary purpose of which is to develop components or subsystems or software elements that then get integrated into something else that ultimately consumers buy. Consumers don't buy technology. Enterprises don't buy technology. They buy solutions to their problems. So in that sense, it's probably better to call Nokia, as Jorma Ollila has done in the past, and I think that we still have a right to say this, that Nokia is a technology products company and now a technology products, services, software, and solutions company. So the key is we invest heavily internally and with our partners in creating a technology-enabled future. But the value is more than the technology. It's the system in which it's delivered. It's the way we interface with customers. It's more about the way that the business operates. It's more about our partners for taking ideas to market. So technology is an enabler. And we take pride in saying that we have 14,500 really exceptional R&D people in the company that are really a crown jewel of this company. But our job is not just to produce technology. It's to connect people and to create user delight.
Okay. So as Bob Iannucci, CTO, what delights you? What's your personal favorite mobile application or service? Or what do you want to see in the future?
Well, consistent with this idea of open innovation, I hope that the great applications that we all fall in love with are somewhere in the future, building on top of this platform that I presume that we will all create together. But if we look at what's available now, what people are starting to explore, one of the applications that really excites me is this idea of fusing the physical world and the digital world. That sounds a little prosaic. What I mean is phones have moved away from being terminals to being gateways, information gateways between the real world that we live in and the information world of the internet. And one of the most intriguing applications that we see coming is this mobile augmented reality idea, using the camera as a sensor of the real world and then using processing power in the phone to make sense of what is seen. When this is fully developed, I see great potential to use the mobile device as the front end to a host of services that we know and love on the PC world, but that change their character in the mobile context. We have a technology in Nokia Research Center called Point and Find. And the notion of Point and Find is to use image analysis as the front end to web search. You point at an object, a car, shoes, something else you find in a shop. The camera and the computer and the phone recognize it and then initiate a search. Well, if you think about how that changes the notion of search, everybody's familiar with search. Most everybody is using search by typing queries into a browser. Well, for a mobile device, it's maybe not so convenient to type a query. But having the camera essentially make the query for you gives you the possibility of having a keyboard-less front end to search. And think of how that could potentially redefine what search means. When we talk about mobility in the internet, this is an example of how mobility can change the internet if we fundamentally change the way that search is done. Those are the kinds of things that get me excited about mobility, of how we can redefine big ideas that the world's already used to.
Mobility to changing the internet. That's a fascinating concept.
Absolutely.
Bob, thank you for sharing your ideas with us. And thank you for listening to The Way We Live Next. Goodbye from me, James Waterworth, and the producer, Hannu Marcus. Until next time.